It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command Podcast. Logan Paulson there. Craig Hoffman here. And with us today, the one and only Jeremy Green. He's an ESPN draft analyst, host of Sportsocracy on ESPN Radio down in Asheville. And man, you hear this guy talk in a second, and you'll be like, yep, that guy's from the Carolinas. I say that as someone from the Carolinas who, you know, moved down from New York, so I don't quite have the accent, Jeremy, but the beard, the accent, I feel home right now.
Well, the beauty is that the guys that listen to all of your stuff finally see a face to the name, and they realize when I said I am Timu Luke Combs, I was not lying.
Perfect. Perfect. Can you sing?
Yeah, I actually grew up singing with Luke Combs because he's from Asheville too.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. So a concert coming up later in the show. But we're going to talk draft, obviously, with Jeremy. He's with us for the whole show today. Logan, I'm so sorry that your beard has been relegated to second on this show.
It's strong. So, it's a nice red beard. It's good. Yeah. It's quality.
This is actually cut down from when I first met Logan.
I know. I was going to say, he's trimmed himself up. He's trimmed himself up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I have to. I probably won't sleep again until about April 28th. So I had to get everything to nice and static so I don't look like a complete homeless person by the time I leave Green
Bay. You should have just let it grow and then you could have folded the beard over as a pillow.
Oh, my God.
I'm probably going to need that because I know you guys are doing your stuff from Washington itself. The accommodations in Green Bay, that's been interesting.
I'd imagine. Yeah.
We're staying in something called Sturgeon Bay. Oh. And I'm one of those hashtag birds aren't real people, and I'm going to make this a shtick that we're staying in fictitious Bird Bay.
Fictitious Bird, yeah. Now that, yeah. I went to the draft in Detroit last year. Was more than happy to. They got the second overall pick. Get an interview with Jaden. Getting to, you know, Detroit's a fairly popular airport. Getting to Green Bay, I'm perfectly fine operating from here this year, only to watch them trade out at the end of the first round and not actually pick anyone on Thursday. So, Jeremy, we were talking right before we hit record here, and there is a prospect that you have not been very high on, to put it kindly, over the last 2 months that now you think actually is the perfect Washington Commander and nobody else. What, you didn't tell us who it was. We said, you stop right there, sir. We're going to hit record. Who is this prospect you've been bashing for 2 months that you have now decided is actually perfect for the Washington Commanders? And why?
All right, so I'm going to walk you through how I got here.
Okay.
And I want to see if you can tell me who it is. Because okay. It's a really popular name.
Okay.
So Dan Quinn, when he was with the Cowboys, he took a prospect that didn't really have a position. He was just a really natural athlete that could really get after a quarterback. And he almost made like a Joker role for him. Now, once he left, this guy does not still do that. He plays one very specific. Micah plays one very specific position. There's a guy in this draft that the biggest thing I have hammered him on is that I don't like the fact he has no position. He can get after a quarterback. He's a little bit undersized. The natural athleticism of him is really intriguing to me, and I don't think he's going as high as other people do. Who am I talking about?
Does he play two positions now?
He played one almost exclusively. I don't have the snap count up in front of me. But he did play two, just way more of one than the other.
I have a guess, Logan. Do you have a guess?
So I was going to say Jalen Walker, but Jalen Walker does two things. But I mean,
it's Jalen Walker. You're exactly right. I was
going to say Jahi Campbell because I think Walker's mid mock so much higher they wasn't even on my radar. I've seen Campbell anywhere from like top 10 to so second
this,
round.
Before we get going, this is the one thing I really appreciate about Jeremy is like he. I think he looks at the national stuff, but he's going to tell you exactly how he feels about a prospect. And I have a feeling that you feel very similar to the guys at NFL Stock Exchange. Like they're not very high on him. They have like a borderline second round grade on Jalen Walker. And I kind of,
that's about where I'm at.
Yeah. And I kind of feel that I feel the same way about it. Cause I don't think he's a great off ball player. I don't think he's a full-time edge, but I like the way you were kind of leading into this description of him as saying someone who could maybe do, you know, kind of in the right system, be figured out by a guy like Dan Quinn.
So the funny thing is I did not think about Jahad Campbell, who now that Craig said that, I realized that the lead up, I can't even tell if he's wrong because everything I said would cater to Jahad Campbell as well. I see Jahad Campbell as a full-time edge. I don't think he will ever be an off-ball linebacker in the NFL. His instincts are not good enough. And he started as an edge rusher. I did not like Jahad Campbell much either until I really did the deep dive on his background and realized he was a five-star edge. And that made all of it make sense of that's why your instincts are the way that they are. Mm. Because you're not used to playing off ball, trying to patrol the middle of the field. You're used to see quarterback, kill quarterback. And it made everything with him make more sense. Now, Jalen Walker, you're right. I do agree with the NFL Stock Exchange guys, Connor and Trevor.
Yeah.
I look at Jalen Walker and go, in the wrong scenario, you're going to get completely washed out. And if what you think you're going to do with him is put him in the middle of a 3-4 and then set him as an edge rusher in nickel, which is what I think several teams would use him for. If that's how you're evaluating him, he's a 2.
Yeah.
If he's almost a hybrid, doesn't really have a position player. Look, we're getting more positionless as time goes on. Brian Branch ran a 40 that I think I could have outrun. And yet he has found a way to be, I think borderline all pro.
I think he did make the all pro team last year.
I was going to say that. And I went, I know Kirby Joseph made it, but I can't remember if he did.
Yeah. I think he made second team. I can look it up, but I'm looking up other stuff, but keep talking.
One of the smartest things I ever said was when the Lions hired Brad Holmes, I went, you're about to have a golden age because I knew him loosely. And I went, that is one of the top five smartest people I've ever met in my life. But that's where we're at is that there are guys that come to this league that just don't have a position. Jalen Walker does not have a position. But he does do certain things particularly well. And I don't trust a lot of coaches to get the most out of him. But I had a lot of these questions about Micah Parsons when he came out too. People forget this. He had some huge character red flags that were super strange. That I do think it's funny that he got to the NFL and everybody forgot about that.
Yeah.
But he wasn't just this ready-made prospect. He did the exact same thing they did with Abdul Carter, which is that he played off the ball. Then they actually used him as an edge. It was kind of hard to pinpoint what does he do exactly. He's freakishly athletic, and I know he can get after a quarterback, but where does he play? I like the fact that Dan Quinn has had to work through that.
Mm.
And now in terms of just raw talent, Jalen Walker is, I would say, a top 15 talent. But then he gets into the – there's a reduction if you're an off-ball linebacker. There's a reduction for – I think he's a little undersized to be a natural edge. And so you start peeling the onion back and you realize that he's going to fall. If he doesn't go to Carolina at 8, because Carolina allegedly really likes him. I'm down here in the Carolina market, so I get to hear a lot of it's Jalen Walker or Shamar Stewart, and then I get yelled at. But I'm not making the pick. You get that, right? I'm just taking what they're telling me and telling it to you. I'm an intermediary, so please stop yelling at me. But if if Jalen Walker doesn't go at 8, I couldn't tell you a team between 9 and 29 that really makes all that much sense.
That's really interesting. Just to clean up aisle fact checks here, Brian Branch was snubbed from the All-Pro team. He finished 4th in the AP All-Pro voting this year, so that's that. And then I also pulled up, courtesy of PFF, his snap count for this year. For all 3 years, really. But they considered it 249 snaps on the D-line, 311 in the box, and then 61 in the slot for 2024. So, Logan, having seen DQ work up close and personal, what do you make of that? The idea that, and not that this guy is going to be Micah. Like, I think he ran like a 4.5 40, and Micah's a 4.3 guy. Like, they're different caliber of athletes, and that's not to say Jalen Walker's a bad athlete. It's to say Micah Parsons is like an alien from outer space. But the idea at 29, especially, we've talked about how anybody that's there is going to have some flaws, otherwise they'd be a higher pick. That idea that Jalen Walker could have the pass rush juice that this team is looking for at that spot.
Yeah, I think that's a really intriguing idea, you know, because again, I think Jeremy brings up a lot of issues that I have with him as a prospect. Like, I don't think he's good enough to play off-ball linebacker, and I don't think he's good enough to be a full-time edge. Like, I think he shows tremendous flashes as a blitzer, as a edge rusher in certain situations. And so I think if you could find a coach that understands how to utilize that, I think that would be the way to go, right? I think that would be the direction that I would feel most comfortable with his utilization. And so as much as I think the NFL, there are certain pockets of the draft community that are higher on him, I kind of am more aligned with Jeremy here. Like, I could see him taking a little bit of a tumble because he's got 31-inch arms. He's not going to play full-time edge. He's too stiff to play off-ball linebacker. So in this era of positionless football, like, I think he'd be perfect for what Dan wants to do. And I do think he has the potential to be kind of this – pass rush specialists, you know, and in the same way that, you know, everyone's criticism of Frankie Louvel last year was that he's a great blitzer but couldn't rush off the edge. I kind of think it's reversed for Walker a little bit. I think he's better off the edge. I think he's got better feel, better bend, and more kind of raw horsepower to get there. So I think that'd be a tremendous fit. But I also kind of wonder, Jeremy, like, how you see him comparing to a guy like Donovan Ezeraku, who the more I've watched Donovan Ezeraku, because again, he's getting mocked here quite a bit, the more I'm like, man, this guy, I don't know why people aren't talking about him going higher than 29. I don't know why 29 is his floor, like why he's a fringe first round pick. His production's great. His pressure numbers are great. His kind of assortment of pass rush moves is great. So to me, it just seems like if you wanted a pure pass rusher, and again, I think Walker as a pass rusher could be special, but I think Donovan Ezeraku, for whatever reason, is not getting that same love. Could you kind of peel back that onion there a little bit, talk about that?
So Ezeraku, I think, would be ideal in Washington. The problem is, I think you have about as good a chance of getting Abdul Carter as you do getting Donovan Ezeraku.
Talk about this. Let's hear about it. You're the first person who said this, and I think this is an interesting point.
So I'm one of those weird unicorns of I talk to people in the NFL, and I talk to media guys as well. And I don't know if it's because he played at Boston College. I don't know if it's because I'm an ACC guy. So, I mean, we're Carolina affiliates, so I deal with the ACC hands-on. And I'm a Florida State fan. So I've seen this kid. I know how good this kid is. The media does not – there are things that the media puts out there that I see in mock drafts, and I go, that's not accurate. Hmm. And Donovan Ezeraku is one of those. Donovan Ezeraku. I also want to call him Donovan Ezeraka, and I don't know why, because his name is nowhere near spelled that way. So apologies for however I butcher his name for the next 45 seconds. I think his drop dead spot's Baltimore. Okay. I think he could go as high as all the way probably to Atlanta at 15.
Right.
I don't see any way he's going to get all the way down there.
So, but why do you think is it just the market that he's playing in? Like, because again, like when you watch the film, like he does everything. He does everything you want. He's got great length. He's got great bend. Like he looks like, I don't want to say the best pass rusher in the class, like, but maybe the best natural feel for that kind of element of the game. You know, there's guys with more horsepower, obviously, but like he's special.
I've always said that one of the things that I noticed about that I noticed about media guys, having now been a media guy for a handful of years, is that there is an element to sexy. Donovan Asaraku, to the average fan, is not sexy, because the average fan is not sitting around grinding tape, looking at this kid's bend and things like that. They're looking at the fact he played on a bad team in the ACC. He had 17 sacks. Nobody cares. They're not getting that deep. They're looking for the sexy name. Now, the funny thing of that to me is Mikael Williams, who watching his tape to me is a lot like watching my laundry dry through the little window in my dryer. He somehow is sexier than Donovan Asaraku, and I don't get that at all.
It's, could it, I mean, be the size?
It's the traits, for sure. It's the traits.
He's like 6'2", a little shade under 6'3", 248, and they, you know, oh, if we can get that at 260, and it's like, I don't think 12 pounds is going to make up for the lack of bend, the speed, the feel. Like, we can also get him some protein and some iron. It'll be all right.
I will never understand why the common fan, the average fan, gets so locked in to so many traits when you're so, to me, you're so wrong about a lot of them. Oh, an edge rusher has to be 6'5". You realize I could list off 50 guys that were under that were really high quality edge rushers. Look at Nick Bonito in Denver. The measurables on him were 100% the reason that he fell. The production was there, but he didn't line up to every single one of these metrics that people wanted for an edge rusher. He was one of the best edges in the NFL last year, because you put him into the right position. One of the things that I'm going to write a book that's going to be put out the day after my death of all of the weird little things that I use for how I evaluate players. I wish I was with a team in some shape, form, or fashion, because I do stuff with the Panthers and the Falcons. And so I'm having to evaluate for 32 teams. If I'm looking at just one team, there are traits that I do not care about. You have three defensive tackles. And so I'm going to take Washington here. You basically have three converted defensive tackles that are playing on your odd front in that 3-4. That makes me care way less about the measurables on my edge rusher. So my edge rusher is a little undersized. Okay, I have three giants playing on the defensive line. I need this kid to be a little bit more mobile, because I've got Johnny Newton, I've got Daron Payne, I've got all of these big, gigantic guys that you have up front. I need somebody that can get around the edge, because I'm not funneling guys behind those big dudes. I'm trying to get around the outside. So for me, Donovan Asaraku is a little short, he's a little fast, or he's a little thin, which leads to him being faster than the average edge rusher. That's a positive to me. That's not a negative.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more, and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Negative. Now, if I was trying to find a guy to play in an even front, and I've got, I'll use the team that I cover the closest, which is the New York Jets, and I've got Will McDonald on the other side. Okay, now Donovan Ezeraku's a third round pick to me because I can't play McDonald and Ezeraku together. I'd have to play him on the inside of Quinnen Williams, or on the outside of Quinnen Williams, excuse me. That's the only spot he could play. That's not as valuable to me. In Washington, Ezeraku would be a top 15 player on the board for me.
I actually think that's right. Real quick, can you go through your edge rankings, like top 10, if you got them sitting in front of you? I know you got to pull them up real quick just to see like where you're falling with all these kind of against the national media, really.
So I came super prepared. I have my full big board, which Logan has routinely said that I'm a witch because I have way too many guys on board.
I think we said 540.
540.
That's a lot of guys. We were at the combine. We're watching receivers run, you know, and I watch a fair amount of guys. And he's like, "Oh, that's the third receiver at Ole Miss. I like him." And I'm like, "I didn't even know that guy existed." And he's got a report on him. You know what I mean? So he's watched plenty of people. For sure.
Yeah, I typically say no one watches more tape than Logan, and then Logan introduced me to Jeremy, and now, sorry, Logan, you've lost your crown in my world.
I lost my crown, that's right.
It's sitting there right on Jeremy's head.
Jeremy needs a hobby. You know, I really wish, I mean, because I've got golf, but I refuse to play golf other than when it's between 75 and 85, which in North Carolina lasts for about 8 days.
If you're lucky.
That's a week in May, and then it goes from cold to swelteringly hot.
So yeah, and then you might get, if you get another 4 days sometime in October, then sweet, we can get one more round in before the temperature drops too much.
Exactly. All right, so my edge rusher rankings, I go Abdul Carter out of Penn State at one. James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee is my two.
Oh.
James. At this point, I'm everything short of his, like, Paul Heyman. I'm going to put on the little necklace thing and just follow him around going, this is my tribal king. Mike Green, Donovan Ezeraku, Nick Skorton, Princely Umanmalayan, and then Josiah Stewart.
Wow.
Oladeja would be my eight.
Josiah Stewart is your, what is that, six?
It would be my seven.
Seven, sorry. Yeah,
and then I love Josiah Stewart. So I don't care that he's a little tiny guy. I'll carry him around in my pocket.
So no Malik Williams on there. No Shamar Stewart, right, on there?
So Shamar, I don't evaluate as a natural edge.
Oh, I see.
So I break mine into – I get really, really
granular,
narrow.
Specific, right?
So Shamar Stewart's my number one five tech.
I got you.
That to me is not a natural edge.
Sure.
Because it's almost unfair to compare the other five techs that are maybe not the freak athlete that Shamar Stewart is to him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think it's unfair to compare him to somebody like Abdul Carter. I mean, yeah, he only had 4.5 sacks. You also got to look at how he plays. You got to look at where he plays. You got to look at the fact Texas A&M moved him around constantly, and he never got cemented at a spot. I like Shamar Stewart. I am here telling the Carolina Panthers, if you're down to Jalen Walker and Shamar Stewart, please,
I think so.
For the love of all that's good and holy, take just Shamar Stewart.
I love the fact that you break him up like that, by the way. I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that's how teams operate. And, you know, that means, like, if you're Washington and you're looking for something, you're picking from a different list than if you're New York and you're picking for something else. So, Logan, I'm curious then for you, and then to Jeremy, bounce this to you as well. If you're Washington at 29, like, which list are you picking from? Because they play both fronts. They are very multiple. They need guys on the edge. Like, their biggest problem last year, for as much as they trouble as they had getting after the passer, was that they could not set the edge in the run game, and that caused a bunch of problems behind them and inside of them. So the idea of a big run-stuffing five tech, like, that is appealing. But so is a guy who can have juice on the edge, because they've went and signed Dietrich Wise, for instance, to try to fill that role. They re-signed Cleveland Furl to try to do it better in less snaps. So, like, if some of the players that are ranked relatively the same are available at 29, Logan, I'll have you go first and then bounce it over to Jeremy. Like, which list are you choosing from?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, because I think you could pick from both lists, and I know that's why they're there for the Washington Commanders. And I think, like, for example, Shamar Stewart's maybe a bad example of this, but I do think he's big enough and athletic enough to offer some improvement in terms of pass rush upside for the team. I think the thing that I look at is I like Dietrich Wise. I like his pass rush upside for the player of that size. I think he's good stopping the run. I think Cleveland Farrell's good stopping the run as well. So to me, the thing that feels like needs to be added is pass rush upside. So I'm looking for someone in that first list that Jeremy talked about, kind of your true edge, maybe a little bit undersized, but someone that can bring a little bit of magic, you know, like your Mike Greens, your Donovan Zarakus. I'm really glad you bought up, what's his name, from Michigan? You just mentioned his name.
Josiah Stewart.
Josiah Stewart. I like him in that role, you know. Mike Renner was on here, was talking about the guy from Central Arkansas too, David Walker, like that type of
– I want to love him so bad.
Talk to Mike Renner. He'll love him because Renner's like his agent.
I know Renner, and Renner is Renner's a brilliant guy. I wanted to love him so bad when we got to the Senior Bowl, and I watched him like a 12-year-old girl at a Justin Bieber concert.
And
I could not stop being disappointed.
But you know what's crazy is like I felt the same way as you, Jeremy, at the Senior Bowl. And then I went back for whatever because we were talking to Renner, and he talks about him all the time. And I watched every one of his pass rush reps from the Senior Bowl. He didn't lose a rep. It wasn't always like the clean, sexy, but like the power was there, the bend was there. And I thought, but the point is, like, I'm looking for a guy in that bucket of edge rusher, right? Where, again, I can plug him in. I don't have to game plan anything. He's going to win creatively in our defensive front. And that's where I would go. There's a couple five techniques that I really, really do like. And I think they could add a ton of value, like Savion Jones from LSU or Jared Ivey from Ole Miss, I think are really interesting players. And I like them a lot. Even Landon Jackson, I'd probably put in that bucket. We've talked about him a ton. But again, like, I don't think they bring the pass. I love how they play, their physicality, all those types of things. But they don't bring the pass rush upside that I would assume they're looking for. Now, you know, with Adam Peters, it's always a little bit hard because it's like you think they're going in one direction, but he sees something unique in Landon Jackson or whoever, one of those guys I just mentioned, and they zig when you zag. But right now, Logan Paulson, sitting here talking to three dudes who are not in the front office for the Washington Commanders, would say, hey, let's pick a juiced up, twitched up pass rusher.
And that seems like what they have less of. You know, Jacob Martin is kind of the one guy who's in that bucket right now, or if you want to put Frankie in there as in the rotation, that's kind of all they got, Jeremy. So where do you come down on that when you look at Washington's roster, this list of players, and what could be possible at 29?
I agree with everything you said there. So I have a funny Dietrich Wise story if we get to it at the end of the show. I thought it was so funny when I saw that he had signed with you guys.
Well, I'll say, if you want to just tell it now, we can detour. You clearly haven't listened. We love a detour on the show.
We call them rabbit holes on my show, and I'm notorious for going down them, so I try not to do that on other people's shows.
Now we go.
So we do our show live on YouTube every day. So our ESPN radio show is simulcast. We call it the Sportsocracy because people can change the topic. If we start beating a dead horse, they can get into the chat and go, okay, like enough. And it's almost like live interaction with hearing fans boo or cheer or something. So one day I'm in the studio and it's right at the end of the show. And I see Dietrich Wise Sr. pop up in the chat. And I went, there's no way that's a very finite name. I've never met a person named Dietrich before. And he said, yeah, I'm that guy. Love your show. And that was the day I went, I'm getting somewhere, because I have an NFL player's dad that is watching my show.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest days ever. We went on like a 10-minute Dietrich, and I'm a lifelong Jet fan. So, I mean, he was a Patriot.
Yeah.
I went on like a 10-minute rant of how Dietrich Wise Jr. was the only Patriot that I could watch their film and really like.
That's so funny. Also, I'm so sorry that you're a Jets fan.
It is sad. I need a reason to be angry. I started as a stand-up comedian, so I really needed fuel, and the Jets are great fuel.
Yeah, 1,000%. So back to as we take our detour back up, we've refound the main road edges.
So I agree with what Logan said. I want you to, I want the twitched up edge. I want the guy that's going to play on the outside, because I'm going to be honest with you. I did not love the Javon Kinlaw signing when I looked at the number, but then I thought about, okay, so where he's playing in this defense, I just got to watch him for a year with the Jets. He has deficiencies in his game, but there are things that he does well. And seeing him playing in that five tech role is kind of interesting to me, especially if you can put somebody on the outside of him. I like Dietrich being on the outside of him, but I feel like that almost needs to be a rotation with somebody else. That's Josiah Stewart that we were talking about earlier. I like that pairing. Stewart's got to be with somebody that can hold up against the run. And Dietrich is more of a pass rusher than a run defender, but he holds up against the run better than Josiah Stewart does. So that's what I'm looking for, is somebody that can play that third down role. I need somebody that your job is to get a quarterback.
Mm.
Now, Landon Jackson, I loved him with Washington until they signed Javon Kinlaw. And now I'm not seeing how that rotation would run.
No, I think that's right. It's like stylistically, you need someone. You've got a lot. Like everyone says, it's like you want to give tackles and offensive linemen different looks, right? They've got a lot of these big body, physical, first and second down kind of, and guys that can rush the passer. Like, I love that Jeremy brought that up. Like, Dietrich Wise can rush the passer a little bit, but it's a different stylistically, right? It's a heavy hand, big kind of power rusher. Now, can we change the pitch basically by bringing in a different body type here, which I think is, again, that's why I lean in that direction for sure.
Building a defense is a lot like building a band. If you have two front guys and no bass player, that's not going to be a great band. And look, not everybody gets the same notoriety. Nobody really cares about the guy that's playing the triangle. But if that's important to the band, then you've got to have a guy that does it.
You don't realize how important it is till you don't have one. It's like, exactly. There's something off with this song. This ain't right.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.